The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Does anyone actually know what's going on here?
I literally have no idea.
Help.
We're 20 whatever.
Hi.
Hey.
Hello.
And welcome back to 20 whatever.
Oh, that was cute. That was cute. I like us doing it together.
Yeah, maybe
cute.
We should do it together every time.
No.
just the once.
What do you guys think? Feel it out. Should we take turns or together?
Yeah, okay,
like yeah, the viewers. What do you guys think? Yeah. Because it is nice that we take turns, but it kind of felt fun to say it together.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was cute. It was cute. Yeah. It was cute. I can't lie.
So today we've got some drinks, which I mean, we normally do, but yes. Like today, especially this episode is going to be a little goofy. I think we're going to get into some funny stories. We just want to talk about all things theater, like a dedicated theater podcast episode.
Yes. All our theater friends and people come to us.
Yes. This is what you've been waiting for. They've asked us.
Yeah.
Like many times to talk a whole lot about theater.
And it's not that we didn't want to.
Right.
I think we wanted to wait at least a little bit to not like go so full theater all
right,
at once.
And scare all the non-theater people away.
But we're here, so let's go. The moment we've all been waiting for.
Yes.
Maybe just me, but
yes.
Okay, so you know, I'm thinking about this. You know how like people dress as like a Karen for Halloween? I did it because it's like scary.
Right.
When are people going to start dressing as theater kids? Because that's scary.
Well, okay, what is the costume?
You're in your show shirt.
Right. Okay, T.
You're in sweats, but you have tights underneath.
And a full face, like red lipstick.
You
like
have jazz shoes on.
And badly done.
Yeah.
Badly.
Yeah.
Like the eyelash is like
coming off. It's lifting.
Yes, it's lifting. And
wait, what did you say?
You either have jazz shoes or character shoes
yes.
on.
Yes.
And they're definitely damaging the character shoes. You are not supposed to wear your character shoes outdoors, but I don't care. I always did.
Yeah.
It's a Ben Nye makeup kit.
Oh my God. Oh my gosh. Yes. And there's like a hole in your jazz shoe on the toe.
Yes. Because, and you got it during tech week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you have like a big, huge ass bag that's like filled with like just all your clothes, snacks, like all that.
And just water and lozenges.
Yep.
And you have like a really kind of like over pixelated program cover because they just printed it off the internet.
Yep.
And everyone signed it.
Yes. Yes. And your other like free hand, you either have like a giant like Jamba Juice or it's like a medicine ball.
Yes.
You took that out of my mouth. I was like, or that iconic medicine ball.
Medicine ball.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Oh my gosh, ladies, we have so much to cover today.
Yeah. Should we start with like, what was everyone's first show?
First show.
Or even just why you got into theater.
Sierra, I want to know what was your first show. Like, I have no idea.
Okay. So I'm so annoying. It's complicated. I did like a drama camp, but I guess I wouldn't really count that as like my first show because we just did the one performance.
Right.
But I asked my mom before we filmed this, like, oh, do you have any theater stories I should share? And she's like, well, you should talk about the fact that we lied about your age to get you into theater. So
stop, really?
That first drama camp, it was a Christmas drama camp and it was 7 to 14 was the age group. I turned 7 in January. So my mom was like very like, we're not going to lie. We're just going to write it here and see if anyone notices. So she wrote almost 7. How small was the almost?
Microscope.
I don't know. But she says she wrote it. And when they had a stand up on the first day and say all of our ages, I said like, I'll be 7 in next month. So like, I think they just kind of let it go.
Right.
But like my first show was Winnie the Pooh.
Aww.
And I was a bumblebee. And there were 4 bumblebees and we all had 2 lines. But at our blocking rehearsal, none of the other bumblebees had memorized their lines. And I did. I knew mine. Period. Of course she did.
And you knew theirs, huh?
And the director gave me all the Bumblebee lines.
Yes.
Oh my
That's
gosh.
That's giving main character. Okay.
I love that.
Should I have maybe said, no, I was seven. I was going to say, should I have said like, no, let them have their lines.
No.
But it was like me and my little entourage of Bumblebees because I just, but they didn't change the script. So I was like having a conversation with myself.
Oh, I'm dead.
I remember my first Good. Line. It was, buzz, buzz, buzz. What are you doing with our honey poo bear?
That was so good.
And then, but then the next line was like back to myself. Our honey, it's my honey. Like I was like talking to myself.
No.
Oh.
It's giving acting.
It is. Yeah. I, but I slayed those lines so hard. And then that theater company, I actually continued to do shows with like my whole childhood. I worked for them. And the director called me Buzz Buzz my entire life.
Oh,
and so even
gosh.
Now still, like if I run into them, he's like, Buzz Buzz.
Oh my gosh. That's so,
so
cute. Sweet.
So how old were you in that one?
Seven.
You were seven.
That was like that January, like after
She was seven. Wink, 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 wink.
Uh-huh. Okay, right, right. What about you, P?
My first musical was Seussical the Musical, as
many. Is Rite of passage, honestly. Yeah,
for many it is. I remember this was... I got the flyer to audition for this production at my school. So I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know that that was like a thing, like an option. They didn't have like, I was elementary. They didn't have like a theater department or anything like that. And so I was like, Mom, we have to go. And I was like, I went. I didn't like, you got to sing your song. Oh yeah, I didn't have anything like in a book. So I sang some like random song off the radio.
Right.
You know, didn't know anything. And she ended up getting ensemble and I was very happy until we had to get assigned what animal we were and obviously Seuss Land. So everyone was getting like Bird Girl or some like random like fun type things. Mm-hmm. But I ended up getting cast as the lion because they had a lion costume from Wizard of Oz. So I was just wearing the leftover oversized lion outfit from the year before. And I remember just being so heartbroken because I saw it and it had like mittens on it that I ended up cutting those things off. I do not tell the costumer.
Destruction property.
And you know how serious they are about like costumes. Like you can't even eat in them. But mm-mm. I could not. Like I remember I was breaking into like hives. Like my arms and like everything was so itchy. And I was just like already so sad that I was just, I felt, I just was not happy. And they painted my face like I was at like the zoo. Like, you know, like the full lion face. Like, oh my gosh. And Paloma did not feel cute at like 10 doing this. And my mom was like, it's okay. It's just the beginning. I'm like, Mom, you don't even understand. I'm a star.
I'm a star.
But you stayed with it.
I did. Yeah. I did. Luckily, it was such a good time. And like, I got caught the theater bug from there. I didn't have any lines or anything like that. But I highlighted my script like I did. Ensemble everywhere. I said, highlight.
Good. That is so funny.
Did you guys used to count your lines?
Yeah.
No.
I remember being a kid and like counting my lines. And there was like a debate in like the theater company. If a line counts as like, if you have like a 4-paragraph like monologue, if you count that as one line or four, because it's. Or not paragraph, like four lines.
No, I no.
Is it one line or is it four?
I don't remember counting it like that, but just I remember like
it's one line.
It's one line.
It's one line.
Yeah,
a line is like your full like moment.
Paloma was there counting like 5, 6, 7, 8.
I'm not counting per words. I'm like, yeah.
What is it? You're like, wow. I am the lead star.
Just tell everyone.
Ryan, so first role.
Ryan.
I did a lot of shows in elementary school and it was like half show. So the director of like the talent show was like super like musically like inclined and just like really like honestly quite genius.
Mm-hmm.
And she would do half talent show, half show.
Oh.
So it would be, I remember one specifically, it was The Wizard of Oz. So it basically like we did like The Wizard of Oz story, but like in like Emerald City, that's where like the talents took place inside of like.
Cool. Oh, I love that.
It was
that.
So cool and I loved it. And I did the talent show part like 1 year, but I just wanted to be like in the show part.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I did that kind of stuff in elementary school. But my first like real show was in 8th grade and I was in The Wiz. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Which is like
iconic.
For those who don't know, like the black version of The Wizard of Oz. And like, you know, Diana Ross and like Michael Jackson, like they were like the stars of that like back in like the 70s or whatever. And I auditioned for it, but it was my first show. And I've like known theater like since I was like, I don't know, like 3 or 4, but this was like my first time. So I was like prepared, but I was so nervous that I did so bad on my audition. But I got cast as like a bunch of, like smaller characters. Like I was like a crow and I was like an Emerald City like girl and I was like a poppy or whatever.
Right.
And that show, I remember that show ending and I was sobbing. Do you guys remember like the end of shows, how truly emotional that stuff is? Like, oh my God. And that was the first time I really experienced that. And I was a wreck. My parents were like, it is really fine. And I'm like, you do not understand.
I will never recover.
I will never recover. And I mean, I've never forgotten that show. It was like one of the best shows. I mean, it wasn't like actually good, but it was like one of like the best memories for me.
It doesn't matter how good the show was.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I would even want to go back and watch the old recordings of the shows I thought were good.
Right.
Because I know they weren't. But just let it live in my brain. It's like, we did something magic on that stage.
Yeah.
And letting go of that show is like, so I remember crying after every, I don't even think I could name a show that I was a part of that I didn't cry at the end of, because it just, like we've mentioned before, it's like you're in this space that's just so beautiful and like full of emotions with people that you've been spent. I mean, tech week after tech week, I feel like I'm like,
that's like hours and hours of people
every single day, and just working together to put on this
and
beautiful
piece. And you're like vulnerable, right?
Yeah.
Especially depending on the context of the show.
Yes.
Like, it could be really, really intense, and you guys can like really be like having an emotional experience. And then for it to end after like so many months or, you know, weeks or whatever with these people, like, it's like, it hurts a
bit.
Because it'll never be the same.
Yep.
You could do that show again. It's not going to be the same people. It's not going to be the same direction. It's not going to be the same like sound or whatever. It will never, ever be the same again.
Yeah. And I think people, the theater kids like coin it as like the post-show depression, quote unquote.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and that's so real.
Always accompanied by the post-show Facebook post.
I am so proud of my entire cast, my counterpart. Like, you are my rock. I wouldn't have been able to do that. I can't even, I'll pull them all up.
Sierra,
I've done so many.
Can you remember a post that you wrote by chance? Like,
I think probably like my most like intense one had to be when I got, because I took like a 2-year break from theater, and then I came back and I did Grease.
Oh,
and it was
fun.
Like, that was it. It was also during the summer, so it was like, we after rehearsal would like go to the beach, we also thrifted all of our costumes, which was
cool. Oh, I love that.
Except for like the cheerleader outfits, but like our prop, because it was like they had the prom scenes, we had to like go thrift our like 80s style like prom dress. 80s, it's 50s
definitely.
our dresses were definitely 80s,
right,
because that's
thrifted.
But like, it was so fun, like that era. And I think, I'm sure that Facebook post, I was like, my family, like, we're gonna spend every day together.
Yeah,
The one post that I remember, like, I remember looking back at it and I was like, I cannot believe you wrote this. And it just started off with, I don't remember the full post, but it was like, the lights are bright, but they don't blind us.
Oh,
I just can't believe
God, what
that
show was that for?
It was like,
please.
I cannot tell you.
Oh,
I have no idea, but I just, it's so embarrassing. It just feels so, you know.
That made me remember that definitely for a period of time, my Instagram bio was the Rachel Berry quote from Glee where she's like, I'm like Tinkerbell. I need applause to live.
No, I cannot do it. No,
that is so cringe. Guilty.
Oh, my God. I remember like, you know, like, I don't know if this was like maybe post like Instagram, so maybe like a little bit later. But as we were doing shows, like, you guys would have like the group chats, right? But it was only like your
people.
It was
there's
whole
a couple
cast.
Group chats. Yeah, you have the cast one,
you have
and
the
then
cast
side
one
ones
that everyone's in, and then assigned ones where, you know, only the few. We talked about this before.
We did. Yeah. In what episode?
I don't know if this episode.
Friendships.
Oh, that's right. That's
Friendships.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Where we like, it was like, you know, you have these people and you have these people, but like these.
Yeah.
This is the crew.
Yes.
Those were special to me. And I always felt very important
when
I was in them.
We're like, all right, where are we going for after
the show?
After
rehearsal, are we going to go to dinner, blah, 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 yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ugh, so much fun. And I think that, the sadness of the show ending is always what got you looped into the next episode of the season. Like, even if you weren't going to do that show, the last two shows, people are like, so are you gonna be doing James and the Giant Peach? So are you doing James?
Right.
So are you doing James? And like, I wasn't, but like, now I feel like I have to. That's how I got roped into Les Mis. I had no intention on doing Les Mis.
That's right, because that came after Adam's Family.
That came after. So I had just done Adam's Family for the first time, and it was such an amazing, I honestly think that's probably where the lights are bright, but don't brighten us post, because that was such a beautiful moment for me in my time. And it ended, and then I was like, I am so sad. I'm just, I could not get over it. And they were already in, they were about to get into tech for the next show.
Like, a lot of people from that show were in Les Mis.
Like, the mom that played the Morticia for me. So, like, a lot of key people in that cast were in that other show, too. And they were like, Paloma, just join it. Like, just ask if you can. So, I begged the director, and I was like, I don't even care who I am. Can I just be in it? And he was like, yeah, you can be whore number two. I was like, we're done.
Yes.
He was like, you get a solo. I was like, okay, cool. I'm in.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's how I sneaked my way to Les Mis.
More than I got, and I actually not that one, but when I didn't
get anything, but I also did an audition. I was same vibe.
Oh, really?
I had done Little Shop of Horrors before, and I was like, I did not have any intention of doing Les Mis. Like, whatever. And then I got such FOMO, and I was like, I want to do a show so bad. And so I asked, I was like, can I please be in? And he was like, yeah, go ahead. I was like, tight.
Yep.
So I came in like way later too.
That's how I ended up doing one of definitely the most problematic youth shows I ever did, which was basically an entirely white production of Once on This Island, in which I played one of the gods and I wore a fat suit at like 14.
I
think I was like 15.
I don't know where to begin.
I know.
So many things.
So I would have been much better off just saying, no, I'm not signed up for that one.
Right.
Okay. So here's the thing. I didn't even know that that show was supposed to be an almost entirely black cast.
Right.
Because the way the director described it to us is, oh, it's like Little Mermaid. Like, she lives in a different world and she wants to be part of this world. Okay. I had no idea there was a race aspect literally until the revival of Once on This Island happened like 5 years ago.
And you were like,
I was like,
oops.
Oh, that was definitely not a role I should have been cast as.
Right.
And also, like, the whole wearing a fat suit thing.
That's problematic.
I feel like that's another thing I look back on and I'm like, I should have said something. But also, I was 15 and there is very much this attitude of like, the director is always right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You do. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I had gotten to where I was getting good roles because I said yes to everything.
Yeah.
You want me to play this role? Yes. You want me to lift this thing? Done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I was like I was the yes girl. And so when they said, and here, it's going to be so funny, you're going to wear the fat suit, I was like,
right.
It felt weird. Like I felt off about it at the time, but of course I'm like, you shove that down.
Yeah.
You don't say anything, you just do it.
Yeah. Right. It was just like the director said, we're doing it, it's just happening.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, because in those moments, and in those moments, they do make you feel like, you're too good?
You don't want the role?
You're so right. They make you feel like, oh, so you won't do it? Like, we're literally giving you this opportunity, and you're so right. That guilt that they hit you with.
Yeah. And they'll even be like, you know, in theater, like on Broadway, you think that people are saying no to these directors? Like, you think these people are doing this and that and a third? And I'm like, no, they're not, and they probably should.
Yes. Yep. But they teach us from a young age, director's always right, don't say anything, you know, wear the fat suit, wear the lion costume.
Right.
So I was at least somewhat aware that, like, yes, there is something problematic about me wearing this fat suit.
Mm-hmm.
But with the whole aspect of almost the entire cast being white, I didn't even know. They told us it was like, oh, it's like a richer and poorer thing. No, they did not even tell us. I'm like, maybe we just shouldn't have been doing that show.
Right.
Let's just stick to Grease.
That's the same
thing. Yeah.
Same thing with Hairspray Girl.
Oh, my God. I know. Well, I can't even. I've done Hairspray 4 times.
Yes.
Okay. We have talked about this prior. I've done Hairspray 4 times because why would I not do Hairspray in a predominantly white area? I'm going to get a role. So, duh. And everyone asked me to do it. I've gotten asked to do Hairspray probably 3 out of those 4 times. I auditioned probably once and I was asked.
And then how do you say no?
How do you say no?
And you already know the part.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so I played Seaweed, which is a boy part, 2 times.
I didn't know you played Seaweed. I know you played Motormouth Maybell.
Yes, I played Seaweed twice, which was really fun.
I was going to say, actually, you would that kill sounds that.
So Seaweed's fun. Like a dance role, and I was like giving. I like was really into it. And because it's written in a lower register, I was able to like really go off.
And you get to be in Without Love.
Yes.
But also,
because it's never good. It never sounds good. It's never sounded good.
No,
it's
true.
No one, unless you're a professional, has ever actually pulled that song off ever.
True.
It sounds bad every time. The harmonies are too hard.
When done well, Without Love hits.
When done well.
Yeah.
And if it's you theater, it probably
it's not going to be done well.
But yeah, so I did that and that was really fun and I didn't really have problems with that. I did have to tape down my boobs, which felt weird and also uncomfortable, like really uncomfortable, really hard to breathe. Didn't have a good time.
How are you supposed to sing like that?
I don't know. How was I supposed to do anything? Don't know. Did it. Was hurting. Was hurting. But then I played Motormouth Maybell twice. Now, Motormouth Maybell, first of all, is a older woman. She's like 50 plus, and obviously we're kids, so like whatever, kids play grown-ups all the time, not a problem. But she's also written as a plus size character, right? She sings a whole song, Big Blonde and Beautiful. And I played it once. I did not wear a fat suit. I had the wig on, whatever. And I just had like a not a caftan. What are those
like the hoop skirts?
No.
Like kind of like a caftan. Yeah. I guess
it is caftan. Kind of, yeah. Like just like a flowy dress.
Yeah.
Mm. Fine. The second time I did it, they put me in a fat suit.
Mm-hmm.
Few things. Number one, the fat suit was so horribly made. Like it looked like I was wearing a fat suit.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. In a really bad way.
Mm-hmm.
And they had me like tie like a scarf around my waist. So it was just like boobs and like no waist and then like ass.
Yeah.
And like also like my legs, which it just like looked really bad. And I was like, why can't I just wear like, why can't I just wear a dress? In the last production I did in it, I just wore like a bra that made my boobs look really big. And yeah. I was like, yeah, big. I will lead with boob. Like big yeah, blonde, yeah. Blonde and beautiful. Right. But they were like, no. You have to do all this extra stuff. And it was not good. Mm. And I played next to that older woman. They didn't have her in a fat suit, I don't think.
Yeah, no, they didn't.
And she wasn't even plus size.
That was the hairspray we were in together.
Yeah, that was the hairspray we were in.
That was the first production we were ever in with was hairspray.
Yeah. Matt.
There was double cast, so she wasn't actually the motor mouth in my cast.
Yeah.
She was saying she was playing against older. She was a mom, but she was not put in a fat suit and she wasn't plus size or anything like that.
Why the child?
I don't know. And you know what? Now that I think about it, they maybe asked her and she was like, no.
Oh.
And I was like, okay.
Yeah, director's always right.
Yeah, that's probably what it was.
And they were like, Ryan will do it. She's down.
Yeah, she's 18. So what is she going to say?
Yeah,
like, of course. So, yeah, hairspray. I might do hairspray again. I think it really, really, really has to be the right situation. Also, like, I need every person that's supposed to be black to be black. And that's just that.
Yep.
Because I have yet to be in a production where, like, the black people are cast as black people. Yet.
Isn't that just awful? Like, you've done it 4 times. And every single time
there's like 2 black people in the cast. Seriously. Like, I'm like, why even do the show? Just don't do it.
Yeah.
Just don't do it.
Well, also the fact that that's like the one kind of widely accepted show that does have a lot of black characters is still centered on a white woman.
Yeah.
But also Hairspray is like probably the only show that I could play the lead in.
Right.
Mm.
How do you feel about that?
Yeah.
Would you play Tracy?
I would, but
it would be so good.
It would be fun.
Could you see her as doing Good Morning Baltimore with her hands?
I would have a lot of fun with it, but I wouldn't say it's like a dream role. I have so many other roles above that that I would rather play that like if it like fell in my lap, I would, but it's not like one I'm chasing after, you know?
Do you think it's some girl's dream role because they know that that's the only role that they can play?
Yes.
Mm.
Yes. And I think if you have that desire to be the lead,
mm-hmm.
that is your one chance. I honestly have more fun in a show when I'm not supposed to be the one carrying it, when I'm not in every scene. Like I have more fun being a featured character role where I get to have like one or two songs, be funny or be the villain and mm-hmm. then like be done.
Right.
Yeah.
Like even the most like leading role I've had, I guess a couple more when I was younger, but as an adult was Audrey
mm-hmm.
in Little Shop.
Oh, fun.
And so that was a lead, but I wasn't the lead. Like Seymour's definitely more on stage.
Yeah.
So I still had like downtime.
Oh my gosh, do you have footage of that? I would love to see that.
That was fun.
That
was a role that I felt like I think I've seen
footage of it.
Probably. I definitely posted it all over Instagram.
Yeah,
back in the
day. I've seen it. How do you feel about Martha Dunstock's role? I've heard in Heather's, I've heard a lot of people be like it's problematic and like it just perpetuates like the same like stereotype.
I feel honestly kind of conflicted about it because yes, I do think it's problematic.
Yeah.
I think they're definitely making her the butt of the joke.
Yeah.
But also how many other roles are there for like fat women?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like if that's a character in the show and I get to sing a fun song,
yeah,
I guess it's not that fun, but you know,
A good song.
I'll take it. You know, but it's one of those things where it's just like, man, this is what I have to choose from,
right?
Which I'm sure is how you feel too.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's definitely a slim pickings. I think we're in a point now where we're on the up.
Yes,
I would like to say that we're on, you know, the upper half of the struggle. I mean, there's still so much work to be done for sure, but. I feel the same way. Like there's I can only be so picky. And so but they make you kind of feel like that though, right?
Yeah.
Like where you're like, well, I'm sorry that this is like this, but you could play this role. Like this is perfect for you. I'm I hear you. I see that,
mm-hmm.
but I want to be this part.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I should be allowed to want that. without you making me feel bad.
But a question I wanted to ask you guys, because I think one of the most stressful parts about doing theater was always auditions, but callbacks. Because the audition was stressful, but then it's like you got your callback and it's like this, you are in the door. This is your moment to like make or break it. Did you guys ever have any like really good or really bad callback stories?
So yeah, I had my first like professional audition at Moonlight. So for those who know, know that that's like one of the top like professional theaters in San Diego. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. I think I was 19. So it was like, finally, I was like, okay, you know, I'm like grown now and I can like do the thing. I was so nervous. Like I going in there, sitting in that little room, waiting for my like number to be called. I was like shitting bricks. And we got in there and there was about a panel of like, I don't know, like seven, which was a lot of people. Normally it's like three or four. And there was like seven people sitting there. And I was like, okay, my son, like, you know, you go up to the pianist or whatever, they're doing the thing. I'm like, I don't know. Like I knew from that moment that I knew that this was going to go completely wrong, because even at that point I was like, no, I don't know what he's playing. I don't know like where it was like not good. And I was like, oh my, do I just like leave now? Like, do I just walk out? But like, I can't, right? Like you just can't, you just gotta like power through. I stand there, I slate, I do the thing. The music starts. I'm like, I'm just going to do what I can. I start singing. I know that I'm nowhere near it. I forget the words.
What were you singing?
I was singing a song from Pippin, which is so funny because I like years later ended up playing the lead in Pippin, like in New York, which was full circle. LOL. Completely butchered the song. Yeah, yeah, the right, comeback. The sequel.
Right.
Completely butchered the song. I knew I was doing so poorly, but I looked at someone in the on the panel and their face was like, I mean, sorry, like audio listeners, but they were like, and I was
like tragic.
It was like, oh, like you're crouching and burning. And I'm like, oof. Like it was like big oof face. And I was like, oh my God, this is so, so horrible. And I couldn't like, I was just like, this song is so long. It wasn't, it was like less than a minute, but it felt like it was going on forever and ever and ever. And it ended and I was like, thank you. And I ran out and I was like, I don't even want to stay. Cause you know, at Moonlight, you have to sit in the little room.
And then they give you the paper.
Which like, why do you do that? Yeah. That is torture. And I was like, I shouldn't even be in here. I know I'm not getting a call. Like, can I just leave? Like, just let me walk out with my dignity, please. Because I am so stressed. I didn't get a call back, obviously. Like, that was the worst thing I ever did. Like, that was like truly the worst audition I've ever had in my life.
Oh, man.
It was bad. And I left and I was like,
you knew
from the moment.
Like, before you even opened your mouth, you already knew it was tragic, which, I was like, this is going to be crash and burn.
It literally was a crash and burn. It was like a car crash that you can't look away.
And I know the stakes of that, because growing up in San Diego, it's like you're just waiting till you turn 18 so you can audition for Moonlight.
Yes.
And I actually think I auditioned that same year.
Really?
Because I remember there being like seven people.
Yeah.
And I sang, I thought I did pretty, I did pretty well. I sang that one song from Little Women that Joe sings, the big belty.
Astonishing.
Yes, I sang Astonishing. I know, annoying.
Right.
But fitting.
She goes, Little Women, I'm like, Astonishing.
Yeah, exactly. And they're like, they seemed well received. They're like nodding, smiling. And then they're scribbling on their little pieces of paper. And one of them goes, do you tap? And I said, no. I thought in that moment, do I lie? Because I do not tap. And I just said, no. Crumples up the paper, throws it in the trash. Thank you.
Oh, no.
I left. But I felt okay about it because I was like,
you got to the second question.
You know what? They asked me if I tap.
Mm-hmm. But they did not have to crumple up the paper and throw it away.
Like, they could have waited until you left the room.
Yeah. That is so dramatic.
So,
it's theater.
You're right.
Drama. It is dramatic.
It is.
They
drama.
Said crumple. Throw the it.
They're like, do you tap? Sierra's like, no. They're like,
yep.
That is
leave.
That is so real though, that whole moment when casting, you finish singing and they'll ask you like, so do you tap? So do you this? And you have a split second of like, if you can or cannot, am I lying in this moment? Or da, da, da. And that has happened to me as well, just killing like it's a professional thing. And then like, oh, so do you tap? And I straight up was like, yep. I had like intro, but like,
same.
And I thought that like in that moment, I was like, if they asked me to like shuffle
do something,
or do like a little something, like a little step something, I could do it. But like actually tapping, like
no.
We're doing that. What was it? What's that? The producers?
Oh, girl no.
No, you can't tap for the producers. God help me.
Oh, man.
I mean, get to that point and they're like, So she lied.
Yep. She's a liar. P, do you have any audition specific stories?
I do have one that really is, it was kind of like rhymes, where it's like you just forgot the words and you're like, I know that this is not going in the direction I want. I was auditioning for this production and it wasn't actually for like a specific theater company. It was for actually SDSU. They were having their like auditions for the season or whatever, and I was not in the theater department, but I was like, I feel qualified, I feel like I could go audition. Who knows if they only cast people from the theater department, they're gonna check my thing and be like, public relations, what are you doing here? But I was like, might as well. And so it was like a last minute type deal, so I just took my book and I prepared a song, and then right before it was my turn, I heard that the girl ahead of me ended up singing the song that I was gonna sing.
What song?
I cannot even remember because I'm so messed up about the song that I ended up switching to. Well, give me one sec. I knew, and I want to give a side note of like, if someone sings the song that you were supposed to sing before you, you are still supposed to sing that song no matter what. And I've been told that by casting now, and I'm so glad I know the information now. So learn from my mistake. Stick with it. Still do it, because you switching it at the last moment is not going to be anything close to what you could give with the material you prepared.
Right.
So in that moment, I wish I would have just stuck with the song. And I, gosh, what was it? I'm going to have to think about it. But I ended up switching to a song that I had just sang for a cabaret, which was What I Did for Love from A Chorus Line. So I was like, oh, I know this song. I sing it well. I've sang it for an audience. I can do this. And I ended up, and What I Did for Love has this moment where it's just like, it's a different verse. And I ended up singing a different line, and then in that moment the piano was going and I was like, oh, that's the wrong verse, here we go. And I just was singing at the like, it was just the wrong words at the wrong time, and I hit him with the thank you so much, and I escorted myself out of there. And they were like confused. They were just like, why did she, like, I remember seeing confused looks, like,
right. Yeah.
Like, girl, help. And I was like, dang it. So that was one that I definitely beat myself up, especially because I knew that I shouldn't have switched my song. So
right,
anyways, yeah.
That's so intimidating, though, especially if you can. There's nothing worse than being able to hear your competition. Yo,
yeah.
That will make you, that'll scare you straight.
Yep.
I'm like, I second guess everything. Leave.
Yeah.
Maybe I should just go home.
Yeah.
Because it's one thing to like sit in a room with everybody that's going for the same role as you, but to be able to hear them.
And then for one of them to sing the same song.
The same song, Sierra girl. I was like, help me. And I don't want to be that lame girl singing that same song after.
Yeah.
And you feel that way because you're like, you don't feel bad for them. They went first, but you weren't next. So
right.
Now
they're trying to like stand out and try to do the whole thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, and it's that hard balance picking an audition song of like, okay, you don't want to do something that a lot of other people are going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want to do something that the director has never heard.
Mm-hmm.
Because right. Then they don't know if you're singing it well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So like I made that mistake where I went too far the other way and I started doing songs from like really obscure, like off Broadway musicals.
Mm-hmm.
That were good songs and good for my voice, but it's like the directors don't know it.
Right.
So they're more so listening to the song than listening to me sing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until a director told me that, like, hey, like this was a good song, but like I couldn't really pay attention because I was trying to figure out if I knew it. And then I was like, and I don't know if that's like universal, but just that one director had said it to me and I was like, okay, something a little obscure, but not too much.
Yeah.
Right.
Not like the, what's that song? Astonishing.
Yeah.
Or like
Defying Gravity.
Yeah, same vibe. Like none of
on
that.
On your own. On my own. Defining Gravity. What is what's that Thoroughly Modern Millie song that they say don't sing?
Jimmy.
Forget About the Boy.
Oh, Forget About the Boy. Mm-hmm. No.
One that's about like green glass love or whatever.
Yes, yes.
That's the Jimmy.
Is it Gimme?
More like Gimme Jimmy.
Gimme Jimmy. Yeah, both of those honestly
those
are
like on the list of like never sing for auditions.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh gosh. Now that I'm sitting here, I think it was something from Hair. And I'm like, how did they? I don't even know.
The song you were going to sing was
that
from Hair?
That I was going to sing, yeah.
Tragic.
I know.
My like perfect belty mezzo soprano, like known but not too well known song was Woman from Pirate Queen.
Oh, I don't know.
That was like, if you're a mezzo soprano and you're hearing, look up Woman from Pirate Queen.
Down.
It's like very On My Own, but it's not
on my own. Right.
But it's that same kind of like building ballad with power. It's, yeah.
Once we end this episode, I will be looking into that.
I'm like, write that down.
Yeah. Sierra, will you sing it for us after the episode?
After the episode, yeah.
Yeah,
not on the episode.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, right. I can.
oh my gosh, you guys!
Okay.
Such tragic stories of auditioning, but like, there's also-
wait, but great ones.
Yes.
You have really good audition stories.
Well, I have a really bad callback one that was actually kind of like a what's not formulating experience. What's it called? When like something's like important.
Formative.
That's, thank you, Jessica.
Formulating.
It's a very, very formative experience. I got a callback for like a dance lead. And I have always been a singer actress who can dance. Like I can pick up choreography, but I am not a dancer.
You're a mover. Strong
I'm a mover.
Mover.
Yes, exactly. So I've never tried to market myself as a dancer. However, I got this dance callback. Of course, I'm going to do it. I'm going to give it my all. I was so bad.
No.
Like, I think I was 14. So I was also like peak kind of, you know, very self-conscious about myself. It was a company I had never done a show with before.
Mm.
And I went and I was just holding back tears.
Oh.
Because I just felt like I was so horrible. And the more horrible I thought I was doing, the more horrible I actually did. But I did not let myself leave. I was like, I'm finishing this callback.
Mm-hmm.
I got in the car and I sobbed to my mom. I was like, it was so embarrassing. I did bad. I'm not going to get the role. And I kind of expected her to do the whole, it's okay, sweetheart. Mm-hmm. You did fine. And she just looked at me and she was like, "Do you want to keep doing shows, right? Like you want me to keep taking you to auditions?" And I was like, yeah, like I don't want to quit. And she's like, then you have to get over it. Like, be sad about it tonight and then move on tomorrow, because I am not going to keep driving you to auditions if after every callback or every audition you have a breakdown because you don't think you're good enough. Like, you have to just move on. And I remember being like, okay, all right.
You're right.
I'm done. And that was really important for me, because before then I took every casting decision so seriously.
Mm.
And that was the first time I was like, all right, bad callback. Whatever.
Yeah.
Move on.
It really is like, do it and forget about it.
Because you can't, there's nothing you can do anyway. You could have, and we talked about this recently, like you could be the best in the room
mm-hmm.
and still not get it. And it doesn't matter. It's not always based off of talent.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's look, it's the other people in the cast's look. Like, there's so many things, so many factors that have nothing to do with you truly, like as a performer, as an entertainer.
For sure. Yeah,
for sure.
Do you guys get theater nightmares where you're like,
yes, I wrote that down.
Did you really?
Really?
I haven't done a show in 5 years. I still have theater nightmares that I go on stage and forget my lines.
No.
Yep, those are the ones.
It does not leave.
Yep. You end up on stage. It's your time to go. It's like a new track. You don't know the words. You got pushed on stage. You fall off the stage. Anything, really. It's the world's your oyster.
Right.
But during Adam's Family, the second time around, I was at the beautiful...
Oh, my God. Sorry.
You know what I'm doing,
I didn't know
right?
what you were about to say, okay, but I do not.
I'm excited. I don't know
Ryan
this one.
Ryan was in the back... Okay, so picture this. Ryan is backstage, okay? We're living life. We're in the middle of the show, The Addams Family. I'm doing Pulled. It's going really well. I'm feeling really confident. I'm hitting all the notes. I'm really happy. It's towards the end of Pulled. And I'm singing, and it's like, but the boy has a bite, which is like, we're getting towards the end. And then all of a sudden... We're at the Historic Lyceum. And so it's like a big theater. And I can hear that the music went out. My mic goes out. And I have to say, and it's like three words before the big direction, you know, that big last note. And I noticed that everything was out. And in that moment, it was a split second of, do I stop? Do I walk off? Or do I just sing this right here?
Just sing it right there.
And it was like such a split. And it felt like such a long moment in my brain. But it was like, we were like at the end of the song. You have no more seconds. And I just remember being like, beat. I'm going for it. And I sang it. And I made sure that I was like overcompensating for the fact that like my mic was out. So I just hit that note so loud, so clear. And obviously the audience was aware that my mic went out, and I ended up getting a standing ovation. Like everyone stood up in the crowd and was just like applauding. And I just remember being like, so like my stomach was in my butt, and I like look to go off stage, and what looks like the entire cast, stage crew, stage moms are like on the side. Look, Ryan's on the side, like looking at me like,
I was like losing like, my absolute
it's
mind.
Like fire alarms are going on because there's no sound. And we're like, and right next after that is like One Normal Night, which is like a huge number.
There's no break. Like it's audience clap and then it's on to the next song. And we were like, are we going to have to stop the show because the mics aren't working clearly? The sound's off. Like, what are we doing?
I run off stage and I literally to Ryan, and Ryan's like, it's okay. It's fine. I didn't even know that your mic was off. I literally could hear you from the back. You were heard. That was beautiful. You cleared it. It was good. You're fine. Go.
And I was like, do not cry. Get your shit together.
Because I was,
we gotta go.
Yeah, she was like, do not cry. You're nice. And then I remember the Morticia was actually crying. She was like, I cannot believe you just did that right now. Like, I'm freaking out for you. And I was like, well, get it together because we are about to go on. Like, it was really so crazy. Chaotic when the mics go out. And it's just, and it feels embarrassing, honestly.
Well, like, it feels like it has something to do with you.
Yeah. You're like, what did I do?
Yeah.
And I was so embarrassed that during my solo song that just everything went out. But I'm so thankful. God, I've never been so thankful for the fact that I sang that note, because I would be so regretful if I would have just stopped, looked around, and just walked off.
Yeah.
And I could have, because it was just like the last note. But I'm so thankful. Thank you, God.
No, right. No, she killed it. It was crazy. It was really crazy.
Thank you so much.
And then I went up to the booth and threatened everybody up there.
Good. As you should. You won the NYA award for that performance, right?
I did. I got outstanding lead actress of the, like, it was like one of the big NYAs when I was like, oh my God, that's amazing.
Because we were at that award ceremony together, because I also won an award for Audrey. And that was one of our like missed connections. And McKenna was there. And I was hanging out with McKenna because we knew each other from childhood. And then she was like, oh, I'm going to go see my friend Paloma. She just won. Da, 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 da. So like we were this close.
Sierra, we were simply passing because she sat next to me in it for the award show. So that is
crazy.
That's such a small world. How were we at the same award show?
And how did you guys like not at one time cross paths?
That is so, and the fact that like her friend was like, oh, I'll be right back, like my friend Paloma.
Right.
Like she said my name
to
Sierra.
She definitely did.
Right.
And I knew who you were because you had killed that, well, the performance. Should we tell?
You kind of need to tell.
You killed your part. Okay. You just didn't get to do what you were supposed to do.
Okay, please. Guys, I'm going to give you the drama. I'm going to give you the drama. And I'm not going to make it too long, but here we go. Long story short, I ended up winning the NYA for Outstanding Lead Actress of the Year for that thing or whatever, for playing Wednesday in that production. They asked us to perform at the award ceremony, and I remember them announcing, like, our director told us, like, you guys, we got asked to perform at the NYAs, and, like, congratulations to those who were nominated, and, like, Paloma, you won, and like, thank you, da-da-da. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Like, I could not wait to perform at the award show because I had, like, the show had already wrapped, and the fact that I would get to, like, put the wig back on and sing one more time with the cast just to get that award was, like, so amazing. And I was surprised when I ended up finding out that they were like, oh, you wanted to do it? Oh, we actually, well, we were going to have the other Wednesday.
Because you were double cast.
Because I was double cast. That. And this was coming from the mother of the daughter who was double cast as me. Mm-hmm. So she was like, oh, well, did you want to do it? Because we were going to have her do it. And I'm like, I was like taken aback because I couldn't even believe that they were not at, like, it was not assumed that I was going to be playing.
Because you won the award. You're going to perform at the award show.
That you are going to receive said award.
Yeah. They were like, okay, well, if you do want to be a part of the performance, maybe we can have her hand off the wig to you. I couldn't even believe what was coming out of her mouth.
Delusioned.
So yes, this fully happened. Her daughter got to perform the One Normal Night, like, mother please, like that whole we're normal people, like that whole thing until the very end where it's like with just Lucas and that one little harmony. So she did the whole intro, ran off stage, threw the wig at me. I'm throwing on my wig really quick just to sing my one last line. One little line. And then I just can't even get through this story. Like, I can't even believe that that happened. And so I got to perform, quote unquote. And I remember ending, and the gentleman that does the award shows, Robert Hopper, came up to me and he was like, thank you so much for coming and performing. And honestly, I was expecting you to be doing the He came up to me personally and said, I was really expecting them to ask you to be doing the performance. I really apologize, but congratulations on the award. And I was like,
Well, I would assume that's why they offered that company the opportunity to perform, because they're leading lady.
And I think that that cast got like ensemble too.
Yes, we got lead on ensemble.
Ensemble.
But specifically your cast, right? Because it was double cast.
Yes. Yes.
I couldn't believe you guys.
It was just,
so,
delusion.
Bananas.
So, yeah, it's a so it was a little tough to believe, but I have no words.
Yeah.
But I have nothing to say. I don't even know what else I need to say about
it. No, there's nothing.
There's nothing else. That is just
brutal.
Brutal. There's this one show. Well, okay. So I was living in New York and I was like, I'm going to audition for stuff. Oh, I don't know what that was not the time to be doing that. I was going through things and I should not have been auditioning for stuff or whatever. But there was a dance call audition for Legally Blonde tour.
Love.
Ooh. And I was like, okay, like, you know, I can, let's just see, you know, whatever. And because the way that you do it, if it's a dance call, you dance first. And if you get called back and or they want to see more of you, then you can sing afterwards and then you move on and on and on. Next round, next round. So I show up there, nervous as all get out. Like, everyone's there looking perfect, looking beautiful. And I'm like, okay. I'm
Girls
also
are in
New
the
York.
Ladukas.
Girls are in the Ladukas. I'm also in New York. So, like, it's a different breed, right? I come from San Diego where, like, yeah, the girls are doing the thing, but it's not New York.
Mm-hmm.
Not even close.
Mm-hmm.
These women, different. I'm like, okay, maybe I should leave. Upon walking, I was like, maybe I should leave. But I was like, no, it's fine, it's fine. I'm there. I'm getting ready. We're doing the thing. We're breaking up into groups. They're teaching the dance. Finally, it's my group. It's my time to go in. I'm in there. I'm like, okay, it's fine. Honestly, like, I grew up dancing, so I wasn't so worried that the dance was going to be hard. I was like, yeah, it's probably going to be not easy,
right.
But like, it's fine. This is what I do. Like, please put me in the ensemble because I'm trying to dance my ass off, whatever. So we get there. The choreographer's going off, teaching it like so fast. I knew it was going to be fast. I knew. I tried to think about what I was going to get into, but it was like so crazy. And then she taught the thing literally like 5 seconds. She was like, okay, and one and two. And then after this, you're going to do this. And then you do this. And then you do this. Okay, let's see it. I was like,
oh my.
I was like, no, there's no way. I can't. But I positioned myself in the back so that I had more opportunities before I got put to the front to get
smart.
To do it over and over and over.
Oh, smart.
Pro tip, if you're not a dancer or if you are and you still need some time, put yourself in the back because you're going to end up being in the front. But like, you don't have to be in the front right away. You get time to like do it. So I was like, okay, what is happening? I don't know the dance. Like, you just did it for 5 seconds and now you want me to do it. Like, I can't. And so, but like everyone around me, fully doing it. I was like, no.
Oh,
like, it was like everybody was like there. Like, they knew what was going on. And I was like, oh my God, no. And I was like, okay, it's fine. Like, I'm just going to do it over and over. I'm really going to pay attention. Like, I need to focus. Like, don't look at anybody else. Just like, really, like, just focus. And so we kept moving up in lines. I finally got to the front. It was horrible. But that wasn't like the final thing, right? We were going to go into smaller groups. And I was like, how am I to survive the small group? I'm hiding in a group of like 20 to 15 girls and they're going to break us up and put us into four.
Right.
And I'm like, people are going to, like, there's no way.
Yeah.
How? I was like, I should leave right now. And that whole time I was saying I should leave right now. Then they were like, okay, Ryan, so-and-so. I was like, oh God, it's happening. And I was like, there's nothing I can do. Try your best and just leave. Just try.
Yep.
Did the thing. Not good. Freaking out. Like, just so not good. So we're getting in the group of four. I'm like, there's no way I can do this. Like, I simply don't know the dance. I'm also with three other people who fully do. So it's going to look like I really, really don't know. Oh, my God. It was crazy.
Girl.
We did the dance. Didn't know. It was crazy. I was like, I am so embarrassed. I was so embarrassed.
Ugh.
We did the thing. I was like, I have to leave.
It hurts my soul too, because you're such a good dancer.
Thanks.
And so the fact that you didn't get it, I'm like, oh, good God, to imagine myself in that room.
It was actually the craziest. It was the most just brutal situation I've ever been in. And I had so much respect for all of those girls that were in there, though, because they killed it. And they wanted it so bad. I mean, I wanted it too, but like, you could tell that these women are like at Ripley Studios every day, like at every call, like at 5 a.m. doing the cattle calls, like they are doing the thing. And I hope that the girls that I would dance
get
with
it,
got
girl.
Cast because I wasn't even mad. Like I was like,
you're like, they deserve it.
And it was very clear that I was like, I'm not ready for this. That, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I maybe thought that I was delusion. I'm not. And I had need to have some things to work on.
I'm with you there, Sierra. Anytime she's like, I did terrible at a dance call, I was like, oh, well, good thing I was nowhere near. Because if you were struggling, God help me. Like, there's no way. I'd have been like, a pot of what? Like, we're done.
Yeah,
we're
no,
done.
Right.
Yeah, no.
So I'm looking at the doc here, and all I see is condom mic, and I don't, and I just need to know what that's about.
Okay, that's me. I am condom mic.
Hi, condom mic.
Hi. So this is, it's like a theater, it's a theater story because it's like backstage stuff, but it's like, it's just funny. And I don't think I've ever told this story online, but do you know how with mic packs, they would sometimes put them in a condom? Did you ever have that happen? Because it like protected it from sweat and stuff.
Nope.
No, just like the mic belt.
I actually used to work audio at theaters. I used to be in tech. So they would do, it was like, they were not lubricated.
Yeah, it was the unlubricated, like,
rib. Some of them were latex, or not latex, but they were usually, they would try to get black condoms when, and put them in the mic packs because it kept the electronic components of the mics from getting sweat into them, especially if you had shows that had like multiple casts per day or like 2 shows, 3 shows a day. It
was, I think I saw
to protect them.
Yeah, with like gloves. Like I remember like those purple gloves, but you guys use condoms.
So yeah, our theater company used condoms, which I thought everyone did, but apparently not. No. So if your theater company did, let me know in the comments. But so we always had condoms backstage because we're putting the mic packs on them.
Mm-mm.
And one day we were doing a loadout from a show. And so they were putting a bunch of stuff in my car because I was the assistant producer and we're going to drive it back to the theater. So we're loading everything out. And I didn't know this, but I guess a group of my friends, including one of the directors of the show, was like, haha, let's like prank Sierra and leave a bunch of the condoms in the trunk of her car. Like, haha, so funny. I was 16.
Oh,
I had a boyfriend. And me and that boyfriend were not having sex. And this is very important to the story.
Okay. Oh, no.
Because a couple days later, he gets in my car and I'm driving him and my dad. And that is it.
No.
Their backpacks are in the trunk. And
no.
We get out of the car and my dad gets his backpack out. And I don't think he saw anything. Then my boyfriend goes to get his backpack. And he's like, are those condoms? And I'm like, what? No. He's like, yes. Like, holds it up like long string of like 30 condoms. Like,
no.
these are condoms. Like, are you
right?
Why do you have those? Like, not trying to jump to conclusions that I'm like cheating on him, but like we weren't using them.
Right.
And I could not understand how they got there. Like, I didn't even think about the theater aspect. I was I'm looking at him. I'm like, I literally don't know. And we're trying to have this conversation like low key because my dad's right there.
Right.
And then all of a sudden I'm like, did my dad see the condoms? Do I say something? Dad, just so you know, I'm not having sex. Those were, I don't know where they came from, but whatever.
Right.
I like tell my boyfriend, I'm like, I'm being serious. Like, I really don't know where they came from. Like I couldn't even come up with an idea of where they were from. Like, I'm just like, I have truly no idea.
Right.
So he's like, okay, I believe you. We move on from it. Nothing ever happens from it. 6 months later, 6 months, maybe even more, we're at the theater one day and our director is like, huh, did you guys ever find the condoms that we like hid in the back of Sierra's car? And I was like, oh. And my boyfriend was there. I was like, I told you.
Oh my God.
So
oh my God.
That was like mortifying.
Yeah.
And I had no idea where the condoms came from.
You have to ask your dad.
Don't know if he knew. I never asked him.
You're like, at the time you bed, like, okay, where did the condoms? Like, you were like racking your brain.
Yes. And I just could not for the life of me think of any place these condoms could have come from. I know.
Why would they be in your car?
I don't know.
Oh my God.
I was literally getting as deep as like, okay, someone stole my car. They had sex in it and they got condoms in the trunk. Like, I could not understand.
Oh
but yeah,
my God.
That is so funny.
Okay, condom mics. Got it.
That's the condom mic story.
Yeah, no, from my experience, I have not seen the condoms used for mics in the theater.
Yeah.
Yeah, just glove.
They're things. There.
They're there.
Not for the mics.
Any other tragic stories we got going on, ladies?
I fell on my butt once on stage.
I was going to say I fell too.
Yeah? What show?
High School Musical.
Oh, love that.
Yeah. It wasn't during a show, so thank God. But it was during a rehearsal, and I was just
what was it?
we were doing a scene. I had to like cross over, and I literally just stepped off of the stage. Do you remember that? Oh. We were talking, whatever, and I had to cross in front, I literally just stepped off the stage.
Yeah,
my foot off the stage, and I was like, oh my god, yeah.
At least it was off stage.
It was off stage.
Yeah.
Did you fall in character?
No. I literally fell and I was like, it's fine. It's fine. Yep. Everyone was like, are you good? I was like, anyways, continue.
It's more embarrassing when like everyone's like, oh, are you okay? Are you okay? You're like, just let me collect myself really quickly.
Start over. It's fine. Like, no one talks.
Yeah. What about the drama, you guys?
The drama? You said you had a showmance. I think we talked about this in one of our like Sierra Unfiltered episodes.
Yes.
Yeah. I definitely had a showmance, but I want to give some tea into it because I think we were talking about how like showmances just happen and you kind of like sometimes you're just around these people so much or you're just like they're just so talented. They're this, that, and the fourth.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a showmance that it fits the title perfectly because in the moment I was like, I really care about you. I really like you. Like we should be together, but like let's wait. Like in my mind, I was like, but this potentially could be a showmance. Like we don't know. You don't know it's a showmance until it's over and weeks have passed and you have nothing to talk about but the show.
Right.
And long behold, after the show closed, I was not as interested in like hanging out with him as much.
Mm-hmm.
It just like it fizzled out. It was nothing bad. It was just like we had different lives and it just worked because I saw him every single day. Right. And That was it. But in the moment, you guys, you really think it's real.
Yeah.
And you know what's sad? Little T. I remember him being like, I feel like this is just a showmance and we're like not going to talk after this. And I was like, no, like I really care about you and stuff like that. And that's what gets me right in the heart. Because in the moment, I did not know that it was a showmance.
Yeah.
Well, because the emotions are high, right. The stress.
Yeah.
I never had a showmance, but definitely with like, right, emotions high, horny theater kids.
Right.
I definitely kissed like 90% of the like people in my theater friend group.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And like my parents were worried about like my school friends. The theater kids were a lot.
Yeah.
A lot more crazy.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'd never had a showmance, but I was definitely like messing around, like hooking up with someone in the show. But it didn't have anything to do our character. Okay, he was in the show, but like we didn't have any like scenes together or anything happening, but we hooked up for like a lot of that season and then I got a boyfriend and then it was done. But
yeah.
But listen, there's like stuff on the side wings or in those green room. You're like, you almost missed your, not at Ryan, but there was a time that I remember we were doing a show and someone almost missed their cue because they were making out
backstage and we were like, bro.
Yeah.
They were
too busy with some other drama. But drama on stage and off stage, guys.
The horrifying thing of that as someone who's worked sounds for like youth theater shows before, if you're wearing a mic and it has power going to it, you're muted for the audience.
Same
with when they're doing mic check, somebody has headphones on, they're solo listening through the tracks. They hear everything. Stop what you're doing. It's their job.
No, okay. I don't think I ever really knew that.
I have definitely been heard.
There is an adult hearing you tell some other 15-year-old boy, I love you so much, Jeremy. Like, it's.
Wait. With that same information, I have a question.
I think I'm not doing well.
I know. And not because I'm.
Jess, did you really have to do this?
I know.
So question, Jess.
She's going through it right now.
So, if you guys can hear everything, like while your mic's on, does that mean like even when we're in the bathroom? Because I obviously have gone to the bathroom with my mic still on.
So I will say, if your mic is turned on, there exists the ability for somebody to go onto the tracker channel, whatever it's on, and listen to it. Most of the time, you're muted and you're not selected, so it's very unlikely anyone heard you. The most I give you the warning if you're doing a show. And you have an audio person, just if you're going to talk shit, don't do it during mic check because that's when they're going through all the channels to check all so that
if
they can
gonna
do their job.
If you're
going to
talk shit or take a shit, don't do it during mic check.
Yeah, they're not just not like listening in. They're working. They're busy.
Yo.
And you don't ethically know.
But you know what's so funny? You would always hear like the directors be like, we can hear you. Your mic is on. Like whoever was talking about blah, 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 we totally hear you. Maybe that was just my theater company, part of my theater company that they were like,
They probably could hear us because they didn't know how to work the mic. So our mics were on when they should have been off. So they probably could hear us talking.
Right. I do remember one time like peeing with my back on. I was like, all right, mic people, I'm about to pee. So if you about to listen, sorry about it.
Y'all yes. didn't just like pinch the, I would hold the element. I was like, no.
I was too scared to touch a mic because I wanted my mic to work all times. And so I was really nice to all the.
And they instilled the fear of God into you. Do not mess break. With your
These
mic.
These mics are $1 million. Yep. So you can't expensive. Afford it. I'm going to tell your mom.
We will never financially recover from this.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
That's how
yeah.
I made this feel.
They
for
really
real.
Did. They really said that.
Do you know how betrayed I felt when I found out that on Broadway they can like eat in costume and like show up like 30 minutes before the show?
Oh,
like
oh,
because yeah. they told us in New Theater, like, if you want to make it, you'll never eat in costume.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You got to be here an hour and a half before. Da 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 da.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, so. I have not worked New York Broadway, but I have worked Broadway tours before. They're not eaten in costume. La Jolla Playhouse main stage is not eaten in costume. And they have full wardrobe teams who have like assigned dressers to every actor. They're not eaten in costume.
So it's the Broadway people just doing
it's just
it?
The Broadway
I just
people.
Catch you guys on Instagram always eating your snacks.
Yeah,
because
yeah, yeah.
you know they're always like intermission fun and they're just yep, like yeah. eating like crazy. I'm like,
no, right.
Should she be eating that
Do
costume?
Do you guys watch or have you watched the like Broadway.com like behind the whatever like
oh
they,
yeah
they did it for, like, I used Hamilton. To. Or, I haven't watched yeah. it in a while, but I think the last one I watched was Hamilton, and they like followed Leslie Odom Jr. around, and I was like,
I watched that one.
This is really cool, and it makes like the I love theater vlogs. That's yes. why I watched Carrie Hope Fletcher.
Oh, I love
I
her.
I love her, and I love when she was doing Heather's and Wednesday and all that stuff. Like that was really fun to watch, and that was like how I started my YouTube channel. That was what yeah. I wanted my YouTube Aww. Channel to be like. Oh, like theater vlogs and all that kind of stuff because I used to watch them all the time. And that's how it started. That's why I have so many like theater vlogs on my channel.
Yeah.
Because I was like, this is what I'm going to do. Like, I'm going to go to theater. I'm going to do this thing and I'm going to vlog all this stuff.
Aww.
I mean, I vlogged Spring Awakening and that was not too long ago.
Yeah. That was a fun vlog too.
Thank you.
I really liked that one.
Yeah.
Oh, is it finally Be Real?
No, it's not Be Real. This pillow,
pillow?
Was shedding all over me.
Oh.
That's okay.
Y'all, the way we've been waiting for this Be Real notification yeah. all day since
if
the last
episode.
If you
have Be Real, can you just comment below? Because we just found out about it yesterday. We downloaded it yesterday and we're still
I
like
posted
trying
my
to,
foot pic.
Yeah. She posted all of our feet pics. It's not just you, girl. You threw
yeah,
us under there
yeah.
too.
You guys are in the shot too.
Yeah.
But as we you kind of bring this episode to a close, I think a fun way to wrap it up would be, is there a role you've played or a show you've been in that just like really meant a lot to you, that really stands out?
I would probably say Pippin. When I did Pippin, I played the leading player, and not really because of the show, because I don't really like the show that much.
It's Pippin.
Yeah, it's Pippin, and it doesn't really make sense. Like if you get it, then okay. But it was because it was my first show in New York City, like ever, and it was like right in Manhattan. Like it was like my dream since I was literally like five. Aww. So that role in that show meant a lot to me just because of where I was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I could finally be like, I performed
in
New York City yeah. and I was
the lead.
That is so yeah.
That's
awesome, girl.
Huge.
It was crazy. And it was at like a really, really, really hard time in my life. And it was like right at the start of everything like falling apart for me. When I was in New York, and I only had that to look forward to every day. Mm-hmm. Like everything else about my life was really shitty, but I could go to rehearsal and like forget all of that and just be there and be present. And I also got to meet so many people. A lot of the people that I met there, I still hang out with. Like we're still close friends. We talk. I just saw them when I was in New York last time. Like that. So that show and that role really, really means a lot to me. I will like never, ever, ever forget it.
Aww.
I love that.
That's
I wish
so
I could have seen you in that.
I know, it would have been great.
I know.
It's okay, I'll have to do it again.
Yep. Mm,
oh,
there you go.
T. I think my favorite show just has to be Legally Blonde because
yeah.
that show is just so fun from beginning to end. The show itself, the dance numbers, I had amazing castmates. Ryan was in it with me and just getting to do the bend and snap with her and just feeling that L vibes of I'm going to Harvard and really embodying her. It was just, she's so iconic and so fun to play. And I really hope one day I could play her again. So
I think you will.
I think you will too.
Well, I'll meet you there at Harvard then.
With yeah. a book in your hand.
Big sturdy book.
Big wordy book.
Full of words I'll understand and right there. Nice. What about you, Sierra?
So I mentioned I did Little Shop. I played Audrey. I actually did it twice, but the first time I did it, I met a group of people in that show who ended up being a lot of them really integral to my life. Like, two of them were in my wedding. Like, most of them I still talk to. I just went to one of their bridal showers last weekend. We still, you know, we don't talk as much, obviously, but, like, we're still in each other's lives, a lot of us. And it was just a really special group. It was a really special time. It was a place I felt like I could really be myself. And then that group, we went on to do, like, a couple more shows together. And it was like that summer, we'd like do sleepovers in my parents' basement, like every night, and stay up all night and then wake up and like go to McDonald's. And like, aww, that was just, you know, and then we'd wake up and we'd sing show tunes and be so annoying. And it was just so special. And one of the things that we did with that group of friends was we wanted to do a performance of Rent. So we did it in my parents' basement for only my parents.
Right.
So they like poured their wine and sat on the couch, and we like did two run throughs before we did it for them.
Your parents were like, lucky us.
Yeah. they said they loved it, but I really do think they were like into it.
Yeah.
And it was really fun and just special to do that. But one of my friends who was in that group with us, and I also worked with at the theater, ended up passing away a year after that. And so that time in my life is like so special to me. And I just look back on that, and it's like, even though she's not here anymore, I'm like, we had that time together, that show that summer. And what's funny is she wasn't actually even in Little Shop, but she did spot for that show. So she was like part of it, and then did everything else with us. And actually one of the chairs in this room is from that theater that they let me keep. And she like made a painting of all of us doing Rent that I still have. And theater is so special in the way that it like brings us all together. And, you know, even people who aren't here anymore. And it brought me to you guys too. So
you guys, this is a theater episode.
I know.
That's so beautiful, Sierra. And honestly, I hear it and feel every word you're saying. That's so beautiful.
I think most of the really, really important people in my life I've met through some sort of connection to theater. Me too. Honestly, pretty much everyone but Kenzie and Steven.
I'm dead. Me too, though. Yeah, there was,
I agree.
There was one time we were, I don't know what, I think we were like watching some, I don't know how we got here, but we just ended up like hanging out in her room. This was like literally like 2 months ago. We were just like laying down and just like talking and like shooting the shit. And I just started sobbing.
Yeah,
I was like, I love theater so much. It means so much to me. And like, people feel like that's really dramatic, but like, you get to like really the friendships and the closeness that you have with people, you don't get in like, you know, like sports. Like, you're not like standing on stage like crying together and like pretending that things, like really serious things, are happening to you and like really feeling those things. Like, that doesn't happen in most other like extracurricular stuff. And like, that can be a lot emotionally.
Yeah.
And it can be a lot like on your own, with your own stuff. And I was just so like moved by how much I loved theater. And then, you know, I thought about like, if I didn't do theater, I wouldn't have never met you, and I would have never met you, and I would have never met Jess. Like, everybody in this room.
Yeah.
Is from theater.
Theater just really opens you up like emotionally and just gets you so close to so many great people, and I'm so thankful for it.
Yeah
me too.
And I love theater.
I do too. And now I'm like, I want to go do a show.
I know, I'm itching.
All right, guys, what musical are we doing?
I know.
That's what we're doing.
Get my parents, they'll get their wine.
Yes
genius.
We'll
okay,
just gather all of our parents.
I know, we'll just ask Lori, what do you want? What show do you want us to put on?
Lori, what do you want?
And now we have Gracie too to clap with.
Oh my god. Yes.
I'm so, I don't want to put any like, you know, expectations onto her as a child, but if she ever does want to do theater someday,
oh my god, that'd be iconic.
I'm so excited to be able to like possibly share that with her.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh my god.
I also think every kid should do theater.
Oh, I agree.
So good for confidence, public speaking, everything, like community, direction. Like, you just learn so much. And I think theater also attracts a lot of the oddballs, you know? Theater is an eclectic bunch.
Yeah.
And I've seen so many people come through theater and have it transform them to, if they were shy, if they were awkward, they're still shy, they're still awkward, but they change on stage.
Yeah.
You know?
And it also gives you an opportunity to be around people that aren't like you. Like,
yes.
The diversity, I mean, it should be like this, right? The diversity in theater really is like so wide.
Mm-hmm.
And like, the range is so wide that you get an opportunity to see how other people live, and you get like that respect for people, you know, like, I feel like in other things, it's like really hard. Like everybody's kind of similar, kind of all living the same life. But in theater, like there's people from all over who live completely different lives than you. And it's so nice to be able to be around people who are different than you.
Yes. And theater, I think, was a huge part of me kind of opening my eyes to social issues, to everything that I kind of believe now morally was because of theater and the people I was around and the stories that I was told.
Yeah.
And it just creates such a beautiful community. And like in the end, like we're in our crying post, like, but you guys are family, but here we are crying.
The lights are bright,
but it doesn't shine bright. Yes. You know? And I feel that way, you guys.
No, I feel that way too. Yeah.
Well, I'm so glad we did this episode.
Me too. I want to do more.
Yeah, I know. I want to talk more about theater and sing more.
And sing more,
Well, we need to karaoke or something.
We're just going to do a show. No, we're not even. It's fine.
Do you remember the Broadway karaoke bar we went to in New York?
Oh my God.
Do you remember that? They have like a pianist.
Yes.
And you bring your sheet music and you sing.
Stop.
But it's a bar.
What if we put one on in San Diego, LA? We know many a theater.
And we make it like an event?
Yeah.
Oh my God. All right. We have some things.
Let us know down in the comments if you would come.
If you would come.
If you would perform.
And perform. Yeah. I was going to say that too. If you want to just watch, if you want to perform.
I just want more theater
and food
people.
And like, oh my God.
Theater friends, theater community.
Yeah, come through.
All right.
Thank you guys
so much for listening.
Yes.
Yep,
Make sure to rate us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Subscribe to us on YouTube, follow us on Instagram.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Next week.
Bye.
'Calling all coffee drinkers. If you've been trying to enhance your daily coffee routine, then Quest has got your back with their brand new iced coffees, now available in 2 delightfully delicious flavors that'll be sure to add an extra pep in your step, vanilla latte and mocha latte. Quest has been on a mission to help fuel you with protein-forward foods you'll love. Each bottle of Quest iced coffee is packed with 200 milligrams of caffeine, the same amount as 2 cups of regular coffee, plus 10 grams of protein per serving to help you supercharge your day. And did I mention that they only contain 1 gram of sugar? It might just be time to cheat on your iced coffee with iced coffee. Find Quest iced coffees on Amazon.com/Quest Nutrition. That's Amazon.com/Quest Nutrition.